Our lesson today is about the daughter of Jairus being risen from the dead, and also of the woman with the issue of blood. We find Jesus coming back onto the other side of the sea. Many people resorted unto him, and there came one, a ruler of the synagogue. And he came and fell at the feet of Jesus, beseeching him greatly that he would come down to his house, for his daughter was at the point of death, and that if he came and lay his hands upon her, she would be healed. These Jewish people, they resorted to synagogues for prayer, for meditation, and in these synagogues, there were rulers that gave exhortation and explanation of Scripture. These synagogues, they were built after the Jews came back after the captivity of Babylon. This man then was such a person that had charge of the affairs of a synagogue in Capernaum. And now in his home, he had a little daughter, 12 years of age, and she had fell sick. And she was so sick, and she had such fever, her mother and her father sitting at her bedside, they seen that life was ebbing away. I wonder if any of my hearers ever had someone that was sick like this, and sitting at the bedside, watching, waiting, that the last gasp of breath would be given. Oh, it's a pitiful sight, my hearers. You know, in the office of an elder sometimes, you're called upon to visit the sick and those that are dying. And often we have been in places similar to what I am describing to you of this ruler and his wife sitting at the bedside of someone who they dearly loved. It was their only child. It was the apple of their eye. I hope that none of my hearers may have to experience something like this man and his wife experienced at this time. And my hearers, they knew not what to do, but they heard that Jesus had returned to Capernaum. And this ruler, he decided that he would go to Jesus. And therefore, we find him falling at the feet of Jesus. It says, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Regardless of where you may read in Scripture, my hearers, of any person having a revelation of Jesus to his soul, you will find him at his feet. All the saints have been found at the feet of this great and this glorious Jesus. We find this ruler there in a token of reverence, of awe, of respect for him who had come back to this principal city, Capernaum. And we find him beseeching Jesus greatly. He then was a man that was filled with prayer. He was also a man that had faith, for he believed that if Jesus would come to his house and touch his child, then that child would be made well again. He had strong faith, but not as strong as the centurion. You remember us having the lesson about the centurion who sent to Jesus to have him come to his house. But we find when Jesus was coming, he sent word back that he shouldn't trouble himself to come because he was unworthy that Jesus should come under the roof of his house. His faith brought him in his unworthiness. Oh, he was such a glorious person in comparison to him. And still he was a man that had authority, and he could say to this one, go, and to that one, go. And therefore he says to Jesus by message, I am also a man of authority. And I say to this one, go, and he goeth, and to that one, come, and he cometh. Speak the word, Lord, and my servant shall be healed. How different was this man? Oh, this man wanted Jesus to come with him. He wanted him to come down to his house and to put his hand upon him. Would Jesus listen? Would Jesus give ear to his entreaty? Yes, we find Jesus going along with this ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. And as he went, we find multitudes of people following him, thronging him. They had heard, probably, what this ruler had entreated Jesus for. And therefore, they went, most of them out of curiosity, most of them to see if the miracle would be performed, which this ruler had requested should be done to his daughter. But there was amongst all these people a certain woman. Some say that she lived on that very street that Jesus was traveling. And this woman, she had been sick 12 years. 12 long years, she had an issue of blood. The Bible says that she resorted to many physicians, and none helped her. She spent all the money that she had, and she got no better, but she rather got worse. Oh, my hearers, have you ever had a like experience? It may be that you had someone that was sick, or maybe you were sick yourself. And you know, when we have a sickness, we sure do want to be healed, we want to be cured. And when it's of a deathly nature, then we resort to physicians to be made well again. And oh, how much time, how much effort, and how much money is not spent on behalf of those that we have that are afflicted in this manner. Haven't you had it? And after spending all your money, and after running to this doctor and that doctor, instead of finding that the patient got better, it didn't help one bit. All the medicine that they gave, all the treatments that they had, didn't help. They rather got worse. If you had had something like this, then you know what this woman went through. Oh, my hearers, with that, she had suffered much pain, it says. You can understand that, going to doctors and having this treatment and that treatment. She not only suffered much pain physically, but also she suffered in her mind. For she got no better. She got discouraged. She got weakened by all the treatments that she had, and she became a poor, helpless creature who had nothing to look forward to but to die. Oh, how discouraging this is for anyone that experiences something like this, and how downcast such people are. But now, she had heard of Jesus. Oh, she had heard that he had done so many wonderful things. And this report of him gave her a hope that he might be able to help her. The more she heard of him, the more her faith became stronger. And now she heard that he was going by the street where she lived on. Should she go out? Should she go to him and tell him everything about herself? under Israel of old, the person that had the issue of blood was called an unclean person. And they were not allowed to mingle with the crowd. They were not allowed to touch anyone. And now she had such a disease that she did not want everyone to know it either. Such matters women will not disclose to others. And so likewise with her. But now, here he was coming past the very street which she lived on. Should she go out to him? Oh, she had such faith given unto her to believe that all she had to do was to touch him, and surely she would be healed. And we find her coming out and mingling with the multitude. There were so many people crowding around Jesus and walking with him to go to the house of Jairus. But they were all curiosity seekers. Here was a woman. She was in need. She had a case. She had a disease. She had a plague. And she had it 12 long years. And now she pressed to all the people. And in herself she says, if I only had touch his garment, I'll be made whole. And she got close enough, and she touched the outer part of his garment. And as she touched, she felt in her body that she was made whole of the plague that she had. What a miraculous cure was this, my hearers. Did Jesus know this woman? Did he know what she had went through these 12 long years? Positively. Did he know that she came to him to touch him in this way, believing that she would be made whole? Positively. He had wrought that faith in her. He had drawn her to himself. And when she touched, he let healing power go out of himself to heal her instantly. You know people that have this disease. They become so weak and so white and so frail. It takes a long time to build up blood. But she was healed immediately. She felt in her body that she was perfectly whole. This was a miraculous cure. And now she came just like a thief. She came to touch him and to run away. But he who she touched, he was the Lord of life and glory, and he will take care of his own honor. And he spake unto his disciples and said, who touched me? And they said, Master, there's so many people thronging thee, so many people around about thee. You ask, who touched you? Well, it's logical that they touch you. Oh, no, he says, someone touched me, and virtue has gone out of me. And he turned around and looked. And I can see him looking at that woman. Oh, she thought she would conceal herself. She would go away. But no. He didn't speak to her or anything. He didn't call her by name, but he just looked at her. And she, fearing and trembling, came and fell at his feet. And she told him all the truth. She told him what she had passed through in those 12 years, and what anxiety, and what distress, and what pain, and what she had passed through in losing all her money, and how that by touching him, she had been made whole in 1 minute. Oh, my hearers, this woman lying at the feet of Jesus. Oh, it says she was filled with fear and trembling. Oh, she was filled with awe, with reverence before him, the Lord, her healer. Oh, she perfectly knew that he knew her perfectly likewise. And he knew her condition, and he knew what she had passed through. And now she had to declare before all the multitude what had happened to her. And now Jesus turns and speaks to her and says, "Daughter." Oh, what a wonderful name did he call this woman. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Oh, he gave all honor to that faith that she had and which she put into exercise by the operations of his grace in her heart. He put honor upon her faith. Why? Because it was the gift of himself. It was he who had wrought it, he who had exercised it, and he who now honored and glorified the work of his own hands. He always will take care of his own honor and of his own glory. Although we would run away as this woman, we must come forward when the time is there to declare who has healed us. And now, my hearers, he spake unto her, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Oh, what wonderful words. Go in peace. Oh, how troubled she had been for 12 long years about that plague. Oh, she had no peace. She had no rest. She was filled with unrest, filled with fear that she might die of that plague. And now he said unto her, "Go in peace. Thou art whole of this thy plague." Oh, what wonderful words does Jesus speak? Oh, he knows how to speak to the point. He speaks to the case. He speaks the words at the proper time. And he never wastes any words. Let me go back to the beginning of this woman. This woman, she had a plague, an issue of blood. 12 long years. My hearers, every one of us have a plague. And that plague is sin. We are born in sin, wickedness within. That is our state and our condition by nature. And the sad thing about it is that we know it, but we do not feel it. We have no trouble about it. We are not distressed about it. We are not running to any physicians with our plague, or someone put a finger on us and spoil our good name. Then maybe we're troubled about what we did. But otherwise, we can live so in sin without it ever troubling us. But if you are troubled with this plague, I would ask you, how long? This woman was troubled 12 long years. And you know, naturally, she went to physicians, and every child of God runs to physicians. They want to be healed. They want to be made whole. They want to be delivered from that plague. And they begin to live good. They begin to obey the law. And they begin to do things which they think are pleasing in God's sight. Have any of my hearers tried to do that? Have you run to these physicians? How far have you got with it? Are you a great Christian? Do you think you're going to go to heaven with that? No, my hearers. For them are only the works of your nature. For they are not the works of the Spirit of God. For this woman, she went to all sorts of physicians. She used all kinds of medicine, all kinds of treatments. And what does the Bible say about her? That she spent all the money she had, and she got worse. You know, that's a sad condition, especially spiritually. Oh, believe me, my hearers. You know, when you make progress, when you get ahead, when you think you're gaining something, then you have something to work for. but when everything goes against you. And when sin becomes so strong, and you become so weak and so helpless, you've tried everything. And sin overpowers you again and again. It lays you low in the dust. I wonder how many experience that. You ever try to fight against sin? You ever make war with sin? You ever try to overcome that plague? You know you cannot. You have no power, no might against it. Oh, my hearers, such a person. He comes, as we read in the prophetical book of Isaiah. We read there that the prophet speaks, although your sins be as scarlet, and they be as crimson. I wonder how many amongst my hearers have sins as scarlet and as crimson. I looked this word up in my Bible commentary, and it taught me that in olden times, harlots, they used to wear robes of scarlet to attract men's attention. This scarlet color was received from a worm. And this worm gave such dye to the color of these robes that there was no human art, no human power that could erase this color, this stain, crimson and scarlet. This is a type of the sins of individuals that are convicted by the Spirit of God. There isn't any human act, there isn't any human power that can ever wipe away the stain that sin has brought upon us. And all my hearers, they used to dip this cloth in the vat of this dye. And now it may be that you've been rolling in sin. Yeah, you're dyed through and through with sin. And maybe it be by actual transgressions every day. You've got yourself worse and worse. Are you such a sinner? Oh, what a mercy. That the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can wipe away the stain of every sin in your immortal soul. This woman, she couldn't be healed by any physicians. She came to the Lord Jesus Christ. She came believing. Why did she come? She had heard about him. She had heard of the many miracles and the many wonders that he had performed. Have you heard about him? Has it brought any hope in your soul, any expectation, any faith in you to believe that if you could reach him, if you could only put your hand upon him, then you will be made whole? Oh, my hearers, how few feel this plague of which I am speaking. How few need this great physician to heal them. Oh, this woman, she came and she touched and she was healed. Are you seeking to come to him? Are you going through the press? There were so many things that were in the way of this woman. Oh, she got worse and worse. And you know that's where it has to come. It isn't a very pleasant experience, my hearers, to become worse and worse, even physically, and much less spiritually. Oh, when a person gets into that state, that he says, well, if I'm going to be saved, Jesus will have to come and save me, or I'll be lost forever. Is that your state? Is that your condition? Are you brought to that point? Have you striven? Have you worked? And have you been brought to that point to say, oh, give me Christ, or I shall perish? I would say you're very near the healing touch. You're very near to the day that you will experience like this woman. When she touched, she felt immediately in her body that she was made whole of that plague. And oh, when Jesus reached down to your particular case and he touches you, my hearers, then you will experience likewise in your very soul that you are healed of this dreadful plague, sin. Oh, then you will look for your iniquities and for your sins, and you will not find them. In that day, Israel shall look for their sins, and Judah for their iniquities, and they will not be found. For I will pardon whom I reserve. Oh, my hearers, do you long for such a day? Oh, I could say from the bottom of my heart, I wish that every one of you longed for something like that. For that is the case of every seeking, longing, desiring soul. Oh, to experience for that healing virtue to flow out of him to heal our immortal souls. Oh, this woman was healed. And truly, when the Lord meets our case, then he will speak likewise as he did to this woman. Oh, he said unto her, daughter. Would you want him to say that to you? Wouldn't you want to be a daughter of the Lord God Almighty? Oh, he has sons and daughters. And he acknowledges the relationship. He acknowledges here to this woman, daughter. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, that blessed faith that he works in the hearts of all his dear children. Oh, that wondrous grace that goes through all obstacles, through all unbelief, doubts and fears, and all trials and tribulations. Oh, that comes to nothing in themselves, but that faith reaches out to stretch and to touch this precious Jesus. Oh, have you such faith? Ah, there may be some amongst me that says, I'll never experience that. I'll never be saved. No. I've been brought to that point that I see myself so lost and so condemned and so undone and such a sinner, there's no hope for me. I haven't any faith to exercise. I haven't any hope or expectation that I'll ever be saved. I think I'm going to die with this plague and be damned forever and ever. Do you feel that way? Do you fear that? Oh, my hearers, you'll never die. None of you are in that state and condition. That great Jesus, that mighty Savior, who is merciful, who is compassionate, and who is filled with pity for sinners, he most certainly will reach your case. And you will experience like this woman, daughter, thou art made whole of this thy plague. Go in peace. Oh, that sweet peace that the Lord gives to a troubled sinner who has been troubled so many years concerning his guilt and his sin. Oh, what peace that flows in like a river, and it takes away all what you have experienced, and it gives you the feeling that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, blessed are they that can say with Paul, we then, justified by faith, have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And my hearers, while he was speaking to this woman in this way, there came messengers from the house of this ruler, Jairus. And they spake unto him and said, trouble not the master any longer. Your daughter is dead. Oh, my hearers, this man He had such faith to believe that if Jesus came and put his hand on his daughter, she would be made whole. And now he got a message that his daughter had died. You know, I can see that man. All the while that this was taking place with this woman, I'll bet you he was filled with anxiety. Or he was saying to himself, come on, Lord, come on. Maybe my daughter's going to die. Or if you don't get there, she's going to be dead. I'm sure that he was thinking that. And now the message came that she had died. Oh, what a terrible blow that must have been to that man. Oh, there wasn't any hope anymore that Jesus could raise her. She had died. There was no use in troubling him anymore. And Jesus, that wonderful Jesus, oh, he met this man's case so perfectly. And he says unto him, be not afraid, only believe. In other words, fear not. You believe that I could raise her up, that if I put my hand upon her, she would be made whole? Continue to believe. I am the same person that you believe in. I am the Almighty One. I am able to raise your daughter up. Be not afraid, only believe. And then when he came to the house, there was such a tumult. There was so much wailing and so much weeping going on within because this daughter had died. You know, the Jews, they still to this day, they hire people to wail and to weep and to mourn for them. And that's what was taking place in this house. These people do that for money. They're seeking to get paid for it. But they don't mourn sincerely. It's only an act. It's only a show. And you know, they were making so much noise. And Jesus says, why all this ado? My hearers, you've ever been to a funeral? You've ever been to a funeral home? Sometimes you see one person, they carry on, they make so much noise. Oh, they're so filled with sorrow and with grief. Oh, they seem to be drowned under it. Take notice. Those that show so much, soon they forget all about it. You know, true mourners, that's deep. That's down within. They don't make much noise. They haven't got much to say. They're so choked up. They're so filled with grief and sorrow. I wonder how many mourners like this do we find when someone passes away. And now Jesus, he chased them all out. They didn't like that. They were there to make money. But it says here that he chased him out. And he went in. And he took John and James and Peter. And he took the father and mother of the child. And he went into the room. And he shut the door. And there lay that child, dead, lying on the bed, a corpse. And he went over to it. And he took it by the hand, and he said unto it, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And the child arose, stood up, was 12 years old, and it began to walk. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? I would. Oh, I would have loved to see something like that, even naturally. You know, something like this, oh, it makes your heart inflame towards Jesus. Does it yours? Oh, this wonderful Jesus who has the power over life and over death. He came and spake, and the child arose. His word is a life-giving word, my hearers. Before anything ever was created, or ever anything ever was made, he but spake, and it was done. He gave vegetation its life. He gave animals its life. He gave fishes their life. He gave the angels in heaven their life. And he gave unto man life. And he also has the power to take away life. And here he stood before the dead child, and he but spake, and it stood up. Oh, I can see those parents. Oh, how they must have fell down before his feet and adored him and worshiped him. Oh, what a miracle was this for them, the parents, but likewise for the child itself. All my hearers, Christ spake unto the parents and said, do not tell anyone about this. He wanted it conceived. And he told them to give the child something to eat. And then he left. You may be sure that those that were paid to mourn and to wail, they came back into that house. But they had laughed him to scorn when he had said that the child wasn't dead, it only slept. But now when they came back into the house, they seen the child alive. And all the fame of this spread abroad through all Capernaum and all the regions round about. This was the second time that Jesus had raised someone up from the dead. The widow's son from Nain, he had stopped the funeral procession, and he had raised him up right out of the coffin. And here he raised this young girl, 12 years of age, from the bed upon which she lay. My hearers, let me go back again to the beginning of this story. We have here a ruler falling at the feet of Jesus, praying him, earnestly beseeching him to come down to his house, to lay his hand upon his daughter, that she may be healed. Have any of you ever fell at the feet of Jesus? Even with your natural troubles, even with afflictions, even like this man. You know, when we come to Jesus, we come to Jesus just like with this woman that I've been speaking about. When everything is gone and all physicians can't help, then we come to Jesus. Oh, this man had a girl that was at the point of death. It may be that there may be some amongst my hearers who have been sick, or you have had someone in your family that was sick and that was at the point of death. Have you went to Jesus? Have you beseeched him greatly that he may raise up whoever had been afflicted, whether it was yourself or whether it was one of your family? And was he so good? Was he so kind? Was he so gracious as to hear you and answer you? You remember that time? What have you done with it? Where has it brought you? Has it left you where you are? You never had any attachment to him. You never had any need more for him. You forgot all about it. You went on in your sins and lived in sin. Oh, how sad. Oh, my hearers, it may be that there's someone in my midst who has been afflicted spiritually. The Spirit of God came down into your soul and discovered unto you your sins and your iniquities. And it brought you to the feet of Jesus. Oh, what a blessed place to come. I wish that I could come there every time that I prayed. Oh, you know, we have to have a case. It has to be true. It has to be sincere. You know, this woman that I've been speaking about, when she fell at the feet of Jesus, she told him all the truth about herself. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been given to do it?
That's another point. Oh, how often we want to go to Jesus.
How we want to tell him all the truth about ourselves.
And after we've got done, we stand up and we say, I don't know, it seems like I've been telling them lies. It seems like I didn't tell them anything. You ever experienced that?
You can't tell him the truth about yourself.
You know why? Because he hasn't given you to do it.
Oh, when he gives it to do it,
there isn't a more blessed place to lay than at the feet of Jesus. You know them times? Those times in your life when you could tell him so truthfully, so sincerely, so honestly, everything about yourself. You like to do that? I'm sure. You ever give him to do it? You want to do it all the time. And this man now, lying at the feet of Jesus, he's a type of such creatures that I'm describing to you. And Jesus, he listened to him. Jesus went with him. Oh, when he goes with us, my hearers, when he gives us any sign, any blessed intimation that he has a favor towards us, as he does with every soul that he leads, oh, then we are filled with hope. We are filled with expectation. Oh, we're looking forward to be delivered. We're looking forward to be saved, to be healed. And you know, just like with this man, he was on his way to his daughter with Jesus, and there came messengers. Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. No use. It's out of the question. You know, every soul that's coming to Jesus, they have such messengers that come to them. And they tell them, these messengers of Satan, I would call them. The messengers say, no use of you thinking you're going to be saved. You're too big of a sinner. You've sinned too long. You've sinned against light, against conscience, against love, against blessings. No use anymore. You ever have a messenger like that within? All them messengers, they would keep you from coming to Jesus. Oh, they would say to you, no use praying. No use trying to be saved. You're lost anyway. You ever have such messengers within? Oh, my hearers, sometimes it gets so that you give ear to those messengers. And you say, yeah, that's true. What's the use? But then Jesus comes, just like he came here to this man. And he says unto him, be not afraid, only believe. Oh, have you ever had a word from Jesus? Have you ever had a fear not? I am with thee to save thee, to deliver thee. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers. When it's all wrong within, and when we're all wrong ourselves, then he comes and he makes it right. My time is gone, my hearers. It's a very interesting lesson to me. I don't know how it is to use, but I would like to continue a little further. But time being gone, next week I will continue from this point. For our next lesson is in the next chapter. But that's all for today.